courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand?
You hold my hand!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, May 3rd. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Over the past year, as unemployment was skyrocketing and millions were applying for jobless benefits, fraudsters saw an opportunity. By posing as someone else, they could siphon money from the system. As a result, many people, even those who never filed for benefits, have gotten a notice saying their personal information was used to tap the system. Among them, our own personal finance reporter.
So really strangely, I got a letter sent by the New York State Labor Department, and they notified me that they strongly suspected that somebody had filed a fraudulent claim for unemployment in my name. And, you know, being fully employed, I obviously didn't file such a claim.
Coming up, Ann Turgeson explains how fraudsters were able to withdraw money in her name, and she'll have some tips on how to prevent this from happening to you. That's after the break.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand?
You hold my hand!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Seems like every day we hear about data breaches or personal information getting into the wrong hands. We hope it never happens to us. Well, it's happening to people nationwide. In one kind of scam, personal information is being used to file fraudulent claims for unemployment benefits. This happened to our personal finance reporter, Ann Turgeson, and she's here to tell her story. Ann, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
So, Ann, you've been on the show before talking about how some of the ways that people can find themselves wrapped up in different kinds of financial fraud. Did you ever think this would happen to you?
To be honest, I kind of thought it was just a matter of time, and I guess I was right, because I got caught up in this very large unemployment benefits fraud that seems to be pretty widespread. So it's hard to know exactly, but the Labor Department Inspector General recently estimated that about 10% of the federal funding allocated for unemployment insurance during the pandemic may have been siphoned off to bad actors due to fraud.
Yeah, they say that adds up to at least $90 billion that could have been improperly paid out. So can you walk us through what happened to you? How did you first learn that your personal information was used like this?
So really strangely, I got a letter sent by the New York State Labor Department that was sent to me actually at my parents' address, which was kind of strange. And they notified me that they strongly suspected that somebody had filed a fraudulent claim for unemployment in my name. And, you know, being fully employed, I obviously didn't file such a claim. So I was quite alarmed and realized that it probably was fraud. So that's how I found out about it.
Yeah, you're gainfully employed by the Wall Street Journal and have been for many years. So how do the fraudsters do this? You know, fabricate your employment status to be able to unlock unemployment funds?
Yeah, that's what they do. So, you know, sometimes it's through phishing. Like the New York State Labor Department says, you know, if you get a text that's purporting to be from us or an email, you basically have to verify that, you know, because there are fraudsters out there who will send texts and they will pretend to be from, you know, your state unemployment agency or whatever. And they, you know, will ask you to verify personal information. You know, they're basically phishing to get you to divulge your social security number and other, your date of birth and other key information that they need to file these claims.
Do you remember getting that kind of message?
No, I did not. So I think in my case, I mean, often because of all these data security breaches that have happened at companies like Target and Equifax, you know, huge numbers of people's personal information have been breached and are available. And so my assumption is that somebody just bought, you know, my personal information online and used it to fill out one of these claims, because I had no contact with anybody that I can think of.
Why do you think the bad guys selected your information in particular?
Well, I think they're pretty much selecting everybody's information who they can get their hands on. I think this is a volume game. I've even heard in talking to identity theft experts that they have been in touch with people who have had unemployment benefits filed for them in many states, not just their own. So I think that the fraud people, I mean, in my case, they were using an address that actually was very close to my parents' address, but it wasn't even the actual real address, the accurate address. So I think that, you know, they're filling these things out in a hurry. They're making mistakes. They're just hoping that if they throw a lot of these things out there, they can get some return in terms of getting the money out of the system.
And at the same time, the states were rushing to get unemployment payments out to people as quickly as they could. There were so many applications coming in. Does it seem like the speed the states were moving at played a role in letting fraudulent cases slip through?
I think so. I mean, actually, so the Department of Labor's Office of Inspector General also alluded to that in a recent document that I read, where they talked about kind of a relaxation of verification procedures in some cases. And I think that as part of the federal expansion of aid, because they increased the benefits available to people. Currently, I think there's an extra $300 a week available to people. So that's made it sort of a more lucrative thing. And they also expanded unemployment benefits to people, including self-employed people who might not normally qualify. And so in the process of expanding these, I think, you know, the concern was that people needed money quickly. And so I think, you know, given also the lockdowns and the fact that a lot of this has to be done not in person, there's been more room for for fraud.
Huh. You know, we always try to be careful with our personal information, but I guess this just shows it can happen to anyone.
Oh, I think that's very true. I mean, I think there are multiple people I spoke to said the same thing. But given all the data breaches that have occurred over the last, 15, 20 years, pretty much all of our information is just out there. And so it's just a question of when and if somebody, decides to use it in a nefarious way.
And for someone whose information was used for fraud, I'm sure it's unsettling, but can't it also cause real problems? Unemployment benefits are typically taxed, though there were limits on that last year because of the pandemic. So can you end up on the hook with the IRS if you get caught up in one of these fraud cases?
So I got lucky. I mean, in my case, there was one successful claim that was paid out. So there could be a tax liability coming to me, but I did speak to an inspector from the state, and he said that, they're well aware that this was fraud, so they were not going to send me a notification that I have been paid a taxable benefit. But a lot of people are getting these. They're called 1099-Gs, and they're sort of notifications from the state that, we paid you a benefit, and some of it may be taxable. So they report those also to the IRS. So the IRS, it believes that you have received taxable benefits. So, but the IRS is also well aware that this is happening, that this fraud is happening on a mass basis. So what they are recommending that people do if they receive a 1099-G for benefits that they never receive, they're recommending that they just go ahead and file their taxes, don't include any kind of mention of the fraudulent 1099-G income, just go ahead and file your taxes on time, and then ask your state for a corrected version.
All right, and since we're getting into problem solving now, let's talk about prevention. What steps can people take to try to head this off in the first place?
Well, people really need to be very careful with their personal information. And so, if you receive things in the mail with your name and social security number on it, you should always shred those things and don't just throw them in the garbage. So you should also make sure that all of your financial accounts have separate passwords and that these are strong passwords and that you keep them confidential. You should check your account statements regularly, say once a month, and that includes your credit. During the pandemic, actually, people are entitled to one free credit report per week from each of the three credit reporting agencies. That's a good thing for people, and people should be very vigilant about checking to make sure that nothing shows up on your credit that that isn't something that you actually have initiated.
And if someone does find out that their personal data has been used fraudulently, what should be their first move? I mean, what did you do?
In my case, because I discovered my data had been compromised by, this unemployment thing, what I did was I did pull my credit reports, and the name of the website to go to is annualcreditreport.com. So I got credit reports from each of the three. I looked at them, and actually in my case, very luckily, there was nothing on my credit report that I didn't recognize. So, but I went ahead and I contacted each of the three credit reporting agencies anyway, and I told them I wanted to freeze my credit, which basically means that if anybody wants to open a new credit card in my name or take out a loan in my name, it's going to be blocked. That also applies to me. If I decide I want a new credit card or I need to take out a loan, I'm going to be blocked too. So I'm going to have to unfreeze the freeze in order to, you know, take out a new credit card for myself. But I figured that that's like a small price to pay for the assurance that nobody else can do that in my name.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Ann Turgeson. Ann, thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.